Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's nice and mild today, Carl, isn't it?
Not too bad, not like the last time.
Yeah, exactly.
We're not getting blown into the shed.
All right, let's see what's in the shed then today. Close this for a second. Alrighty. Okay, so everything looks pretty cool here. So,
Well, I have been cooling things because right. It's that time of year. So we kind of just drop temperatures a little bit and let them settle down for the winter.
So what are we going to talk about today? I haven't seen you in a couple of weeks, by the way, so it's very nice to be back in the critter shed, Collie Ennis.
I don't know, I was thinking maybe we might talk about parasites.
I love parasites, but I don't know much.
Well, I don't know either. I might have a friend who knows a thing or two about them.
Wouldn't it be amazing? Oh, there's somebody at the door.
Oh my God.
You might need a parasitologist.
It's almost as if you were waiting there. Pull that over there.
There's a little latch. Perfect. I want to keep whatever.
Have a seat down there.
Oh,
sit down. A bit of a squeeze in here.
Tea and everything. Happy to get. Perfect.
So, who are you?
I am Maureen Williams. I am a parasitology graduate student at Trinity College Dublin, where I met Collie and where, you know, we study all sorts of parasites and what they do and how they control their hosts.
Oh my God. Where do you stand on parasites, Collie?
I haven't a notion. My experience with parasites is basically trying to get rid of them from animals that I keep. And so I deal a lot with like amoebas and smaller stuff like that. But I find the whole mind control and all that kind of stuff very fascinating. So fill us in.
Do you have any favourite parasites?
It's hard to pick from among my children. So there's a lot of options here. One of my favorites at the moment are probably nematomorph worms. They're called horsehair worms because they're thin and slender. They look like a horse's hair. We're not very creative in our naming. So what they do is they actually infect crickets. What they make the crickets do is take a long walk off a short pier, and then they essentially explode out of the cricket. The parasite continues its life cycle in the water, and then you're left with a dead floating cricket.
Wow.
Which is an easy snack for any fish. So they're really important for their ecosystem.
Is that the video I've seen recently of the praying mantis with a long, very thin worm coming out of its backside after it's dropped into a bucket of water?
That's exactly what that is. They are so spooky. And you find them kind of everywhere around the world. And they're hugely important. Like, they do a really important job in their ecosystems. Parasites, you know, everyone thinks of them and, you know, oh, parasites, they're the worst. They're so gross. But they need a publicist. They do a lot of good stuff, too.
Sell them to us. Sell us parasites. Be their PR person.
For once, it's not me. For once, it's not me trying to sell a weird animal.
What would happen if we didn't have them? I mean, why do we need them?
Well, half of all species are parasites. Okay. Literally half.
So, really?
Yeah, exactly. Isn't that amazing?
Wow.
That's one of my favorite parasite facts. And so they're found in every ecosystem. And then you look at the fact that they do control their hosts. And so they have this really important role to play where they make everything run. They're kind of like the puppet masters behind the scenes that we don't always see.
Wow.
But, you know, they're really fascinating creatures. And every type of lifestyle, every type of animal. So you get, you know, some crustaceans. So like lobsters almost that are parasites.
Oh.
You get everything down to tiny little viruses. And, you know, all of that is parasites. It's fascinating.
Actually, there's a good question that I've always wondered. What defines a parasite as being a parasite? I automatically go to the microbial type of parasite. But I know there's crustaceans that live in fish's mouths or replace their tongues, freaky stuff like that. Are they considered parasites as well?
100%.
Oh, yeah. Right, cool.
So you're talking about Chymotha?
Yes.
So they are little, they're kind of like pill bugs, or like roly-polies, we call those. They bite off the tongue of a fish and then clamp on to the tongue stump. But the cool thing that they do is they actually then function as the fish's tongue. And the fish don't seem to be too terribly bothered by it. So they keep on living their life. And actually recently, in the last like 2 years, we've started to find them in sharks as well, which is fascinating. Yeah, it hadn't been recorded previously. So, you know, parasites, one of the reasons why I love them is because we're still finding out so much about them that we never knew before. And it's one of the few areas where it's just, you know, constant new discoveries. Mm. And it's just an exciting place to be, exciting time.
If you ever find them in people, they'll warn us, because there'll be no French kissing going on if there's parasitic tongues involved. You don't want to get going down that path.
What do the tongues do, though? What do they do when they're functioning as the tongue?
Oh, so they move back and forth exactly like a tongue does. They help them break down their food. They take little bits of it sometimes. Right. That's how they keep living.
Right.
So they, you know, functionally, they just replace the tongue. Yeah.
And they don't actually harm the fish as such?
They take a little bit of its blood, but not a terrible amount.
I mean, yeah, that's the least you can do is donate a small bit of your blood.
I mean, for people, yeah. But, I was supposed to say, so parasites, what is a parasite? We have arguments about that constantly. If you ever want to see a heated debate at a conference, man. So everyone kind of has a slightly different definition, and we're sort of at a point where we're trying to work it into kind of these broad definitions. But the way that I always say is a parasite is something that lives on or in another animal. It needs to in order to live. And it wouldn't be able to reproduce without living on or in that animal at some point.
Right. Cool.
Okay. And is there a thin line then between symbiotic relationships and parasitic ones?
So parasitic relationships are a type of symbiosis,
right?
So symbiosis is all the different relationships where animals interact with each other. And parasitism is just kind of the grossest, well, maybe other than cannibalism, but the grossest option there.
Okay.
Has anybody here in this shed, and this goes no further because it's just the three of us, right?
Yeah, no one's listening.
Has anybody here had any parasites on or in them that you know?
That's a good question. I have worms in my poo when I was a baby. And I also had lice, head lice.
Oh, yeah.
So there's the two things that, you know what I mean?
Are they,
that's the only lice I've ever had.
Yeah. Are they parasites?
They are, definitely, yeah. And I was going to say the one that I thought of immediately was pinworms, which are the ones that you get in your nether regions when you're kind of younger.
Yeah.
Make you really itchy.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, yeah, a lot of people probably have had parasites and maybe not known it.
Mm-hmm. I've heard some stories about parasites down through the years, and I think the one that just gives me the shivers but also makes me think, wow, is the story I heard about a parasitic wasp that lands on a caterpillar and with surgical precision injects something into the caterpillar that I think immobilizes it. And then at some point, shortly after, the wasp lays an egg inside the caterpillar. And as the larva inside the caterpillar develops, it munches away on the still living, fresh caterpillar. And it's programmed so that as it grows and munches, it doesn't munch on the vital organs, so that the caterpillar stays alive until the last bit of the larval stage where it's ready to fly off, and it just goes, you know, I'll have that liver. And then it flies off and leaves a husk of a caterpillar behind it. And Charles Darwin, when he was studying parasites, parasites were the thing that sort of pushed him over the edge and said, it cannot be a god. Like,
what sadistic
fucked up mind of a god would actually make something like that?
Attenborough said the same thing about the parasite that eats children's eyeballs. He says, I cannot, anyone who says to me, your programs show me the beauty of nature, why do you always deny God or never mention him? And he goes, well, it's very nice talking about butterflies and flowers, but he said, I have to think about the parasitic worm that eats the child's eye in Africa. I can't put that in the same category.
Yeah, amazing. So.
Thank you. talking about the parasitic wasps there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The tarantula wasps are my mortal enemy, and I see them all over the place when I go away.
What do they do?
The exact same thing that the parasitic wasp does to the caterpillar. They actively go out, hunt spiders. There's actually an arms evolutionary arms race going on. Sometimes the spiders get away, sometimes they don't. The big tarantula wasps sting them, paralyze them, bury them in the ground in a little chamber. And again, the maggot of the wasp will eat everything bar the essential organs first, and then emerge. So yeah, it's a pretty gross thing. We have our own species of parasitic. Well, a few of them in Ireland. Yeah, we do. I see it with the caterpillars on the cabbage white caterpillars. They turn into their little chrysalis, and instead of turning into a chrysalis, they turn into a disgusting blob that looks like the end of Gremlins, where you know, where they explode with the, that's what they look like, and it's all the little tiny wasp cocoons being webbed up. Yeah, it's really awesome to look at.
Collie is so right when he says it's this arms race. So you build a defense, the parasite figures out how to get around the defense. So you end up in this situation where everything is so tightly evolved together that, you know, this one wasp can infect a different type of caterpillar because they've evolved so closely together. It's fascinating. There's a whole field of science that studies that, because it's this close, rapid evolution where you're just fighting back and forth. What's fascinating, kind of related, there's actually fungus that do similar things to ants. So this is Ophiocordyceps, and they've shown this year as well, paper came out, where they showed that the fungus is actually able to physically pull the muscles of the ant to make it do what it needs to do. So this is a mushroom, essentially, that is pulling on the muscles of an ant. Is that not amazing?
That's horrifying and so incredible at the same time. It's mind-boggling.
I hope they don't evolve into anything that will... Oh, here we go.
So,
you had to say it.
Oh, God, I'm freaking out.
So, they haven't yet. But have you heard of the video game The Last of Us? It's so popular. If you have some free time and want to, you know, do nothing, oh my God, it's amazing. But the entire game is based on the premise that Ophiocordyceps, this exact parasite, moves into humans, right? And they had a consultant parasitologist working on the game.
Very good. I remember an episode of The X-Files from years ago that they dug in some ice when...
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ice was melting and a fungus got out. Do you remember that, Mar?
Oh, yeah. 100%.
That's what started me on this journey.
No.
But yeah, no, it's incredible. And, you know, the more we're able to look at these things, the more we see all of this exciting stuff, like the study where they found the muscle pulling. You know, they did this really intense microscopy, and they were able to, like, visualize it all and then construct 3D models. It's incredible.
So that analogy of a puppeteer is actually not really an analogy. It's what's happening with this.
God. Yeah, it's terrifying and fascinating at the same time. Yeah.
Right, if I was to have a favourite bedtime story about parasites, it would be about Toxo. Toxoplasma gondii.
Yeah.
Can you tell me a bedtime story about Toxoplasma gondii?
So, Toxoplasma gondii was a small little parasite.
Once upon a time.
In a land not so far away, because it has spread globally. So, Toxoplasma gondii, have you ever heard that pregnant women shouldn't clean a litter box?
Yes.
This is exactly why. So it's something that infects humans kind of on accident. We're not the target host. But when it gets into us, if you're pregnant or if you have a compromised immune system, it can really hurt you. Otherwise, most people get it and you're just walking around living your life. You get prevalence up to like 50% in some countries.
Wow.
But what it does is it lives in mice and rats and cats is kind of the ideal life cycle. So they want to start their life in a nice little mouse and their life in a cat where they're able to reproduce. In order to make that happen, I don't know if you've seen, you know, Tom and Jerry.
Mm-hmm.
It's false. Cats and mice do not like each other like that. But so you know, the parasite has a problem. It's stuck in the mouse. What's it going to do? Well, it hijacks the mouse's brain, and it actually makes it so that the mice go towards the smell of cat urine instead of away from it. So they're actually attracted to the smell of cat urine. So once they've, you know, found their cat that they're going to, the cat gets an easy snack. It doesn't have to work very hard. Parasite enters the cat and reproduces. Really gross. Really awesome. But yeah, it has this, what we call like a paratenic host cycle, which is where the paratenic, so we're not the ideal, we're just para, sort of the same. So the paratenic life cycle is when it ends up in us. There has been a lot of research recently on whether it actually controls our behavior or not. There's a lot of arguments that it does. So in the past, it's been linked to things like aggressive behavior. It's been linked to road rage. And this year, sorry, this has been a bumper year for parasitology. This year, a really exciting study came out that showed that it's actually tightly linked to entrepreneurial activity.
Wow.
So if you have the parasite, you're more likely to open a business. Mm. You're more likely to keep it going. You're more likely to take the risks that are necessary.
Wow.
So, you know, who knows? Maybe we wouldn't have, you know, the capitalist system we have without this parasite.
I read as well that a lot of bikers, when they've done autopsies on the bodies or test their blood, that the vast majority of them had toxo in them, which is amazing. Mm. Is that true?
Yeah, so there have been arguments that it's tightly associated with risky behavior. So, I mean, that's what entrepreneurial behavior is. At the end of the day, it's taking risks. And it's just fascinating that, you know, I think people like to think that everything they choose to do is their own choice and everything is their own decision. But there could be situations where parasites are changing our baseline, you know? So it is your decision, but your baseline has shifted.
How big is this parasite, this Toxoplasma gondii?
Microscopic. So, you know, even if you have it, you're probably fine. Do not worry. Everything is okay. But, you know, maybe open a business.
Is it when the cysts go into the brain that they start changing things? So is that what happens?
Yeah, so it does travel into your brain. Mm. And they think that it's actually probably linked to altered levels of neurotransmitters. Mm. But it's really hard to do that work on people just because, you know, I don't want to open up my brain for anyone. Yeah. But
I was talking to a guy called Jaroslav Flager, who is, I think, one of the first people to start studying that. And he started studying it because he thought he himself was infected with something that was changing his behavior. He's from Prague, and he was indulging in a lot of very risky behavior in the late 80s. So he started studying his own biology, I guess, to see if he was infected with something. And that's where he started thinking about toxo and what it does. But he also said a couple of interesting things. He was saying, like, it has a different effect on men and women. It makes men very disheveled looking. And makes women very stylish.
Hold on a minute. Hold on.
Let's take a quick scan here. So, have you heard about that?
I haven't yet. No, that's right. Fascinating. But I know that Prague is like a really strong history of parasitology,
really?
As far as cities go. And we also have a somewhat unfortunate history of a lot of self-experimentation.
Right.
You know, there's one of the students who started in Trinity ended up infecting herself with malaria on purpose. Oof. To be part of a vaccine trial. You know, we have this huge history of you don't want to give someone else it, so you give it to yourself. Toxo is just fascinating, and I feel like we're only scratching the surface of it. You know, like any of these things, we don't really understand everything that's happening. We don't know. People have put forward thoughts that it might be linked to things like bipolar disorder, but there's just so much work to be done.
Mm.
Like, if you want to get into this, now is a great time. Like, there's just so much to find out still.
Wow.
Ooh. That's really cool. Would it hold up in court if I was to rob a bank and just scream, it was a toxo? And would you come to my defense?
Collie, I'd be at your defense.
Thank
no
you
way.
Very much.
No, he was awful. We knew it from the start.
They were coming out of his ears. Is there cases with parasites, as in there will be with viruses, where you jump species, or is there anything like that?
So that can absolutely happen. So there's documented cases where they switch hosts. So usually it's something that's quite similar. There was a very cool one that happened where they documented a parasite jumped from seals to birds recently, which was really fascinating. Mm-hmm. Because those are very different. So they have very different body temperatures. They have very different underlying physiology. And they did this whole genetic tracing study to figure out that was what had happened. It was on this remote island, so there weren't a lot of other options for the parasite. And necessity is the mother of all invention. So they can switch species. It's not super common. So the study species that I focus on, they're these tiny freshwater shrimp. And even then, the parasites from the UK will not infect the shrimp in Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
So you get different situations where sometimes parasites are flexible, sometimes they're very rigid, sometimes the hosts have really good defenses, sometimes they don't. And some parasites have these multi-host life cycles. So toxo, which has to go through at least two different hosts, that's a multi-host or a complex life cycle parasite. You have others that just go directly into one host, so that's more of a simple life cycle. And there's been a lot of speculation about the evolution of these multi-host systems. Like, why would you bother, you know, going through all these species? And they think that it actually is like this evolutionary defense of trying to, you know, maybe if it's a bad year for ducks, I can live in this shrimp for a while.
Oh, very
wow.
Clever.
Yeah.
It's like an insurance policy.
Exactly, yeah. Parasites are just so clever, and they have so many cool ideas, and, you know, they've just adapted in so many ways. It's fascinating.
I'm bringing down the tone here, but I read in a scientific journal, I read that you can trace human pubic lice back to gorillas.
Yeah, so human pubic lice are very tightly evolved to humans,
yeah.
Which is fascinating. And lice are one of those species where they have closely adapted to exactly their host. So we don't normally catch lice from other mammals. There's a really cool study that came out where there was an outbreak of pubic lice, unfortunately, and they were trying to figure out what happened, and they thought it might have been from bats. But bats carry the other lineage, and so they were able to eliminate it. But yeah, so we probably evolved with it. You know, when we were early hominids, we had a similar species composition in our parasites. And then as we evolved, they evolved with us.
And broke away, yeah.
Yeah.
That's mad. And then they were saying that it was probably from us just sleeping in the same nests, not anything untoward. Like, it was just that the eggs or the adults might have just been hanging around. And then, as you say, we broke off. I found that really interesting.
Anybody here had them?
I have not, thankfully, knock on wood.
No, thank God.
I have.
Oh, aww. God. Fair play.
It hurts.
And it was disgusting. It was absolutely disgusting. I got it from a mattress that I slept on in a squat in London in my early years. Yes, I know. I was 18. Come on.
It happens.
I believe they're an endangered species in the States now, yes, because their forests are being chopped down, so to speak. But yeah, that's really weird to think.
Social commentary.
I wonder is
habitat loss.
Yeah, what about Peter? Are they going to go out and start protesting now?
Protect our parasites. I'll make the signs.
Yeah.
There's just so many amazing parasites, and they've just evolved so many different lifestyles and so many different ways of controlling their hosts, which is just the coolest.
Amazing. Yeah. Gosh. Yeah. Well, that was incredible. Yeah. I'm so glad you just randomly turned up outside the shed.
Yeah. I mean, next time you need me, just send up the parasite signal.
Yeah, brilliant.
Just a worm in the sky.
Do you get a car with that?
The parasite mobile.
That was fantastic. So will we leave that there for today?
Yeah, thank you so much for coming over. It was really cool to have you here.
We'll head out for a cup of tea now.
Yeah, I hope I haven't parasitized your time too much.
Oh, no. Oh, my God.
You're here for days rolling out the cheesy numbers.
I mean, the enthusiasm is infectious.
This is so good.
There we go. We're back into the real world.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.